their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. As we face the issues, we always invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. Right after the brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're going to be talking about an issue today that I believe is a pretty silent issue among the general populace of America. I believe that most in America are not even aware of what we're finding in our culture and the woke progressive culture that we're living in. It is a Marxist delusion. A Marxist delusion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just for your edification, there are 10 points to Marxism. I'm not going to belabor those 10 points, major 10 points of Marxism, but I've boiled it down the past number of years to three major things. Is to divide America by race, to destroy the nuclear family, and to dethrone God. Those are the three major elements of Marxism. And we're witnessing that today on every hand. And I'm not talking about just in the political level or the political arena, but in every arena in life, that's what we're witnessing today. The focus is to destroy America, to undermine, tear down, eviscerate the constitutional republic that we have, that God has given us, that is so near and dear to us. So we'll be talking about that today. We're going to invite your dial-in and your questions and comments and discussion on that issue. We have a very special guest that we'll introduce in just a few moments. But may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." And then in Psalms 117:2, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says, "The word of the Lord endures forever." And you might ask the question, how long is forever? By the way, in teaching in the Bible college and university classrooms, I've had students sometimes where it says, the Bible talks about everlasting or forever. Question is, how long is that? And I said, forever. So when we talk about the truth the Lord endures forever, that's forever, unending, infinitum, no end to it. And I'm thankful for that. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, just like George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said, Orwell made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true even today. However, we find, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, that's 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% say that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Let me just read you a brief headline and paragraph from that survey. Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article opens then by giving a definition of truth from the Webster's Dictionary. Webster's Dictionary says truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, the state of being, the case in fact. But that same group, 55%, say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. You bifurcate truth, you've got a lie. A half-truth is a whole lie. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we find in the political arena. You find it also when multitudes will get together and talk about biblical, theological, doctrinal issues, there's always a half-truth, splitting hairs with the reality of what the Word of God says. And by the way, I've said for years and years and years, Scripture interprets Scripture. Mm. I get a little weary. I love to do the research and writing of books and publishing of books. That's a favorite hobby of mine, if you will. But I could be wrong. And when you look even at the Bible, you look at a study Bible with the footnotes, those footnotes are not inspired. They could be incorrect. So I say to people, if you want to know the truth, research the Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. I get a little weary with those that will have a fringe understanding of the Scripture without understanding the truth of it. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. He said, "The Warrens America's decline is linked to the death of truth." Jim DeMint said this in part. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe to be true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in some of our Christian churches. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." Charlie Kirk did that. I don't put a halo on Charlie Kirk's head, or he didn't walk on water, but he was standing on the truth, politically speaking, and biblically speaking, and he was assassinated as a result of it. This is the reason I believe it gets so real and relevant in the culture in which we're living in, when a statement was made by Jan Hus, "Be willing to defend the truth, even to death." Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The Tools for a Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is conveniently located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You might ask the question, how do I find it? That's located at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier on the campus of Tools for a Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole floats the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. At the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, a scripture that I have used so many times that I lean on so often because of the condition that America is in today and the world, in fact, is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And without doing an injustice to the scripture, may I say, perilous times have come. They are present in the world today. Perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating, deadly. And we're witnessing that today on every hand. But ladies and gentlemen, today most of our millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, really do not know our Constitution. Most in the younger age group today are not aware of the pitfalls and the destruction of socialism, Marxism, and communism. Therefore, we now have a very serious push today. Listen, a very serious push today, electing socialist, Marxist, communist for political leadership positions in our nation. Zohran Mamdani, the mayor-elect now of New York City, Zohran Mamdani, one that promises free food, free Medicare, free education, free transportation, free division of all production. His election was by the vote of the elitist, college-credentialed young voters in New York City. I believe the number is about 80-plus percent of those that voted. In fact, I was shocked to find out recently that in some of the survey research work that I've done, that over 100,000 Jewish people voted for Mamdani. Mamdani is an anti-Semite. Mamdani is against the Jewish people. He bifurcates and says he's against the nation of Israel, but not against the Jewish people. Ladies and gentlemen, Mamdani is a socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic jihadist. Now, I hope you have written that down and you understand what I'm saying. That's an elongated statement of who he is. Listen, Mamdani is not just a Marxist communist. He is a full-fledged Islamic jihadist. His mother even said that, and I quote, he ain't American, he's Ugandan. I'm surprised to find that we've got a Ugandan with Ugandan citizenship that also has American citizenship as now the mayor of the largest city in America, 8 million plus people. And yet he has already said what he's going to do, bringing in socialism, which is simply communism light. When you say, I say Marxism and socialism, all the red lights should be flashing on and off. That's communism light. And that's where we're headed as a nation, and we're seeing that today. In fact, Mamdani just said that if Benjamin Netanyahu ever comes into New York City, he's going to have him arrested and put in jail. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. I'm going to read this portion of it. Then we're going to introduce our guest today. The headline says, New York City Mayor-elect Zohan Mamdani, chief advisor, wants social workers responding to 9/11 calls. New York City Mayor-elect Zohan Mamdani's longtime chief advisor, I'm not calling his name on there, wants to make a huge change to policing the Big Apple. His longtime chief advisor reportedly led a campaign proposal to send social workers to address nonviolent 9/11 calls across the city. The heavily criticized proposal was drummed up by the Ivy League educated California native, if you will, a relative political newcomer affiliated with the Democratic Socialist Party of America. He is a socialist, a communist, that he is now the chief person for Mamdani in New York City. He goes on to say he was tapped by Mamdani Monday, just a few days ago, to once again be the chief advisor while running the helm of New York City's City Hall. He's appointed now by Mamdani to be the head of the political machine in City Hall, after serving in the same post during the campaign and during the state assembly days, which aims to replace police officials and authorities with mental health professionals to deal with non-life-threatening emergencies with a focus on subway stations. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble as a nation. And if we're just that person, it'd be different. But listen, coming out of the Socialist Party USA, they've already said that Mamdani was their key person. But they've made the statement, and I quote directly, in the 2026 election, they already have 1,100 proposed candidates across America and every position politically that you could think of. We're watching the fast track. Listen, you've heard me say before, and may I, at the risk of redundancy, say again. The Socialist Marxist Communists with the Islamic Jihadists, they go by incrementalism. They're willing to take a small win today if they can wait long enough to get another win and another win until together they are galvanized to bring in the net and do what I've said for years and years and years now. We're looking forward to, not looking forward with anticipation, but according to the demographics of 2009, demographers said then that by the year 2050, America will be an Islamically controlled nation. And if you don't believe that, look at the UK. If you don't believe that, look at all of Europe. If you don't believe that, look at what is taking place on an international level with the standing up, the rising up of Islamic jihadists to force into leadership. And here's an article to prove that point. And then we introduce our guest. Free fresh food for everyone. The new lady mayor goes full communist, demands control of all private stores. Seattle Mayor-elect Katie Wilson declared that she will not allow private grocery stores to close in a resurfaced video from September. Wilson said during her mayoral run for the corporate that corporate grocery chains should not be allowed to only sell food to those they can afford it, and express support for a public option, meaning that government-run grocery stores would be established throughout her area. Her proposal emerged at a time when Democratic New York Mayor-elect Mamdani had promised to establish grocery-run, government-run stores. Listen, here's the point. Access to affordability of health food is a constitutional right, she said. Somehow I'm misunderstanding our Constitution. Somehow I've misunderstood our United States Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. This article reads further. She says, quote, "Together, we'll build a Seattle, Washington, where fresh food is for everyone, not just for those that can pay for it," end quote. That's total 100% socialism, which is, how would you say, better understood, calling it communism. Ladies and gentlemen, what do we do? Which direction do we go? So what's the answer? How can we confront the evil dangers of the direction that we're headed in as a nation? Ladies and gentlemen, we may not have all of the answers, but I believe based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, God gives us illumination for our eyes, direction for our feet, and understanding through God's wisdom on what we should do. I'm delighted today, ladies and gentlemen, to have a dear friend of mine and one that we have interviewed before, but I believe has some answers that are directly from God that I believe will be a benefit to us today. We have with us Marshall Wood. Marshall is an Air Force pilot, retired. We need to refire him, but he's retired. He's the author of a book, The Bigger Picture. Marshall, thank you so much for coming today. Always good to see you.
Pastor, it's always a blessing to see you, and we'll just warn the listening audience, I want to be here, and I want to say what I'm going to say, and I didn't realize how significant today was actually going to turn out to be until I was driving over here this morning, and I am, as I sit here, I'm overwhelmed in agreement with things that you have said. There are two things that I have asked you to let me do this morning. I want everybody to understand that. I have asked you for the permission to do that. This does not come from you. It is an unction in my spirit to do two things. One is to, as an unknown person, I'm just a pedestrian person. I don't have any great laurels to rest on. I'm just an everyday Joe. But that's the folks that God works through. He gets glory when the everyday Joe does his work.
Amen.
So I believe I'm doing that this morning. Amen. I want to be clear on that. I want to issue a warning. And then I want to do what I did when I was an aircraft commander in the Air Force. Sitting in the left seat, I was in charge. And I gave a command, it had to happen. Mm-hmm. If it didn't happen, bad things happen. Okay? Even though I retired as a major, that isn't much rank. But before I start, I want to ask the listening audience to bear with me as I give you a brief background of what I did so you can decide whether I even am fit to speak. You think I can do that?
I believe you can. Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's go.
Yes, sir.
I said I retired as a major, and Doc told you I was an Air Force pilot. I had a very, very unusual career, and I believe that God gave me the experiences in the Air Force that I had for such a time as this, and perhaps maybe even just to speak the few words that I'm going to speak this morning in warning, and then a command given. I never pursued rank. That's a true statement. I pursued doing the jobs that I had to the best of my ability. I selected the jobs I wanted. I went and got them, and those jobs were flying airplanes. Mm-hmm. So unlike the average Air Force officer, I flew 18 of the 20 and a half years I was in. You won't find many Air Force pilots that did that. I turned down many assignments and sought a cockpit position that nobody else wanted, mm-hmm. that they put me in. And because of that, I have seen the reality of the world. 1 John 5:19, we're of God, but the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. And I can tell you that I have seen that evil from the cockpit of an Air Force jet. I flew 7 different airplanes. I've got about 15,000 hours sitting here flying both military and civilian. And God has used that to prepare my very pedestrian, unknown person reservoir of information that I believe that I need to share. Now, that's probably too much that I've said, but let's proceed this way. America needs to wake up. We, the Christian, European origin males, seeped in the Judeo-Christian ethic have been asleep at the switch. Mm-hmm. And so this morning, driving over here, now please bear with me, folks. I'm very traditional Baptist, and I'm not going to wander off into emotional things that some groups get into, but I'm going to make a statement, and I hope you'll write it down. And a few months, we'll find out if I was a prophet or a liar, mm-hmm. okay? And there's a pretty serious penalty that goes with saying things wrong. I'm speaking from probability. As an intelligence officer, you line up things that are happening and you say, this is the most probable thing that's going to happen. You take a weapon or some other implement and you move it to preempt what you think the enemy is going to do. Well, here's what I want to say. November the 18th, that's today, right?
Right.
2025, that's this year, right?
Right.
America reached the tipping point. And the tipping point is the beginning of the final phase of God's judgment on this country. Christians aren't going to see that. We're going to be raptured out.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
But something that I heard Marjorie Taylor Greene say this morning on TV, gal I've had some interest in the past, but I realize now she's probably a charlatan. Our nation has now reached the point where I do not believe we're ever going to be as we were again. As Jezebel brought such misery into the line of Israel, and as Athaliah brought such attempted to interdict the Messianic kings, the Davidic line, we are at that point in America when our indifference to sin, which is unbelievably pervasive in our culture
Absolutely.
Today, as a nation and individually. Quick example, I'm driving over here today and I see a black Jeep Wrangler with a young teenager in it. And on the front of his hand-painted inscript on his vehicle is Lucifer, with the implications that that was who he follows. And then a couple blocks later, and I'm not going to be able to repeat this, but I saw a sign on the car driven by somebody's mom describing herself as what's come to be in the common vernacular very acceptable appellation. You know, like you're a baby mom or something like that. But this acronym actually is rooted in filth. And yet she's broadcasting that, well, I'm one of these. But it's part of the culture. Nobody blinks an eye anymore. It used to be when people did things that were outside the Judeo-Christian ethic, they answered for it.
That's right.
We don't hold each other accountable anymore for that. So without beating the stick any further, let me just say we need to back up, we need to wake up, and we need to begin to understand what's going on around us.
Absolutely.
As an Air Force pilot, if I lost situational awareness, if I didn't know what was going around me 24, and you as a private pilot, same mm-hmm. thing. As an aviator, you have to know what's going on all around you, what you're hearing on the radio, what you're seeing with your eyes, what your gauges are telling you, and what your crew's talking about in the back.
Absolutely.
If you lose it, you're not going to be around long. Mm-hmm. And America has lost situational awareness.
That's a good point. Let me jump in and ask this question. What do you see today as the central issue in today's political arena that brings you to the position that you're in?
Well, the first thing is the ignorance of the very first commandment. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the Shema of Israel, but in Genesis 1:28, it's what? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. We have taken that basic commandment that one man and one woman for a physical lifetime are supposed to reproduce physically and spiritually, and we've turned it into, well, if you want to, you can have a child. You don't have to be married to have a child. And if you want to, you can abort and kill the child. Well, if you read the book of Ezekiel fairly carefully, which Cindy and I are doing right now, you'll find that it's because of killing children and offering them to Molech,
right.
Baal.
Sacrifice.
That God destroyed Israel, and then he destroyed Judah. Mm-hmm. As regards Judah and Israel, for a little time, they'll be back.
Yes.
But that was what did it. The central problem in America is our indifference to the importance of reproducing human life physically and spiritually.
And what are the side effects of that, or the end results of that? Correct me if I'm wrong. Right now with Islamic jihadists, they're producing like 8.9 children per couple.
Absolutely.
And in America, what is it, 2.3?
It's lower than that. No, it's below the mathematical index where recovery is impossible. It's 1.85. Mm-hmm. Europe, in almost every country there, from Italy closest to the Pope to over in Spain, is 1.1, 1.2. The reason Russia itself is so dangerous is because their birth index is 0.8. I saw the CIA intel in the 80s that said Russia would not exist much further into the 21st century because they weren't producing children. So what have they done? They've had to bring in immigrants. And who are the only immigrants available from the stand countries are Islamists who are producing, as you said, between 8 and 9 children per productive mm-hmm. child. So they said, hey, here's what we do. We go in, we take over the culture, we're patient, and we breed ourselves into control of that country. And the tip of the iceberg is Mondami in Boston. That's a warning sign for this country. It's a warning sign.
Yes, absolutely.
But you ask the question, what is the sin? The sin is our attitude toward life and children. Reproducing children are important. Raising them in the fear and admonition of the Lord is important. Suppose every couple saw it as their purpose in life to find a godly mate and to share the common mission of male and female of producing life. Well, what's so important about that? Because it's part of God's plan on this earth. What happens in Revelation 20:10? Satan is bound by the powerful angel and cast into the lake of fire, right?
That's right.
All right. We are right there with Jesus participating in that judgment because Paul told the church at Corinth, do you not know that you, believers, will judge angels, Satan, the great angel of heaven. Mm-hmm. We are here to be the source of Satan's judgment from when he sinned in Isaiah chapter 14. I shall be like the Most High, right?
That's right.
And God did not squash him like a grape at that point. He delayed his judgment. He created the earth, a microcosm of heaven in the Garden of Eden. He knew Satan was going to corrupt things, as he would have tried to do in heaven. He's given Satan enough rope to hang himself. And in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus explains to his somewhat clued-in disciples, who really didn't yet get it,
they didn't,
that, in fact, Satan was already judged. It was about to be in finale with the crucifixion and his resurrection. Satan is as freely operative in this world today as he has ever been. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 tells us that. We're in the latter days. There's the great falling away, is it not?
Apostasy,
you don't
absolutely
see the volume right of people in your church that you used to see.
Right.
We have some. We probably don't have the listenership that you used to have. People are falling away. We've got to wake up, and we must accept the command to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, who will point us to the Father and say, do as he says.
Amen.
We haven't done it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to, in just a moment, take the top of the hour news break. We're talking with Marshall Wood. We're talking about some of the issues today that I believe should be vividly, indelibly placed in our minds and our thoughts so that we'll have the indication of what needs to be done. In just a moment, Marshall, after the news break, I'm going to talk about the fact and ask the question, can America survive as a constitutional republic? How will America turn back to God? I'm looking at a headline we'll read in a moment. School district slaps surprising disclaimer on Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit